We need to pray for God's wisdom and for his guidance, Lord, because when you bless my life, don't let me consume it or hoard it for myself, but let me be filled and let me help fill others from the overflow that's coming through my life.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Let's continue in this series entitled Blessed and Highly Favored. Let's go into the message today with Pastor Rogers with part three from that series, Let It Overflow.
As it deals with a prophetic word for, I believe, not only now, but 2018 for this house and for you. The Lord had impressed my spirit to pray for God's wisdom and guidance on how to handle the favor and blessings of God that are imminent for every believer in this house and for this church. Pray for wisdom and favor. How many of you know sometimes people can get a blessing and then they waste it away and they don't have nothing to prove God's blessing? Then they're whining and crying, oh God, give me more. God said, I gave you that. I was listening to a preacher say this morning that when William Bradford gathered all of the folks together for the Thanksgiving meal, that he broke off one kernel of corn and gave it to each one of them to remind them that little is much when God is in it. Don't despise the days of small beginnings. If you've been in this series with us or over the past several months, we've been talking to you about potential and the power of God that is available hanging over our head. We need to pray for God's wisdom and for his guidance, Lord, because when you bless my life, don't let me consume it or hoard it for myself, but let me be filled and let me help fill others from the overflow that's coming through my life. The Hebrew word Rahab, R-A-C-H-A-B, means this from the book of Isaiah 54 and verse number 2. That word means to grow large, to grow wide, to go beyond, to make more room, to increase capacity. That is, a God who is without limits. There is no boundaries to enlarge the territory. This is not an option. This is a command that comes from God. Build my church. Increase the kingdom. Enlarge your capacity. I have been almost addicted to the word capacity in the past few weeks and waiting to bring this message to you. While we can't increase our physical attributes of our body, we can increase our mental capacity, our understanding. There are people that are restricted to wheelchairs, but they're doing great things because their mind is not restricted to a wheelchair. Come on now. There are individuals, one particular Christian evangelist who literally has no arms and no legs, but it has not restricted him from preaching the gospel and affecting the lives of people. I'm telling you, whatever it is you focus on, it will become larger than what God is if you're not careful. It will become an idol in your life. Therefore, you must lift your eyes to the one who has all potential, the God of omnipotence, the God who is without limits. His ability is far beyond yours. That's the reason why, if you're writing some points down, I want to give you some principles here today. You can never go beyond your source of supply. In other words, your source must be greater than you are. You can't draw from something that has less than what you have. I'm sorry, if you're wanting to find out about trigonometry, you better not ask a two-year-old. Better ask them when they're six, right? You got to have something that's beyond your God. It has the capacity, the ability, and God has the willingness to bless exceeding and abundant. In fact, the Bible says to us in the book of Ephesians 3 and 20 that our God is able to do exceeding, above, beyond all that we could ask or think or imagine. The key here is having faith to believe God. Faith is the key to the kingdom. To access God, you must access him by faith. Let me give you an analogy. Money in our earthly realm is the currency of exchange. In the heavenly realm, faith is the currency of exchange. God said, you can't please me unless you have faith. You must believe that he is, Hebrews 11 and 6, and that he is a rewarder. He says, I want you to know that it is God who rewards. He's not just believing that he is God, but do you believe that God will reward those that diligently seek him? How critical it is for us to understand that we're not serving and worshiping a God who was a little g of the Hindus or a little g of Islam or a little g of all the other millions of gods around this world. We serve the one true living God who is Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom. Come on, somebody. He's the God of this Bible, and he sits high and looks low this morning, and he is waiting and willing and ready to bless his people. Anybody up for a blessing? Wave your hand at the Lord this morning. Now, I want you to understand that God is not only able to do it, but he is ready to do it, and it is necessary for us to enact the key to the kingdom, which is faith. Faith is the most important thing that you can have. It's important because if you lose your money, if you got faith, you can get your money back. If you lose your house, if you got faith, you can get your house back. Come on, somebody. If you lose and backslide on God, if you got faith in God, you can get back in a right relationship with God. Am I talking to anybody? But if you lose your faith, ladies and gentlemen, it's over. That's the reason why when Jesus spoke to Simon Peter before his crucifixion, Jesus said to Peter, I prayed for you, Peter, because Satan hath desired to sift you, to have you, to sift you like wheat. He wants to munch on you a little bit at a time. He wants to wear you out. But I prayed for you, and what did Jesus pray for? He said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Not that your money wouldn't fail. Not that your mother-in-law wouldn't fail. Come on, she was living with him. You should read the Bible sometime. He didn't pray for him that his car wouldn't fail or his house wouldn't fail or his education would fail. He said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And here's what's going to happen, Peter. If you'll hold on and keep your faith in God, God will not fail you. And when you are converted, Peter, go ahead and strengthen others out of the overflow experience that you've had with me. Any blessing of God is always accompanied by burdens. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You can't just have a blessing without a burden, because that is the trying of your faith. God will, this morning, whether you know it or not, you're receiving the word of God that's adding to your faith, faith upon faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So you're getting a word of faith that's coming to you. You receive that into your life and you're built up. And then what happens sometime this week, sometime next week, God allows you to go through the trying of that faith. Because you can shout about it all you want to. You can read about it and say, I got 1,000 promises in my promise box at the house. And you can do all the calisthenics of religion. But until your faith has been put on trial and into the fire, you don't know what you've got. God does not trust, write it down, God does not trust what has not been tested. That's the reason why you're glad that the manufacturer has his seal of approval on whatever it is that he made for you that you have at your house, and he made it for a purpose. It is not to exceed the capacity of which it was made for. So therefore, you're not supposed to use the screwdriver as a hammer. The manufacturer made the screwdriver, and not only that, he made a common head and a Phillips head and a star head. And if you try to put the star head inside of a flat-headed screwdriver screw on there and you're trying to use it like that, it's not going to work because it wasn't made for that. It does not have the capacity for that. It came with a little tag that says, use this for this purpose. You can use this one or you can graduate to a larger one, but whatever it is, the manufacturer has proven that thing, put their seal and stamp of approval on that particular item to say to you, we guarantee, we stand behind what we have tested and proven. Several years ago, the president and owners of Toyota came to the United States when so many of these Toyota cars were crashing and the brakes were getting stuck or the accelerator was getting stuck, whatever that it was. And he got on his plane and flew from Japan over here and sat in front of Congress and apologized to the people and to the people of America and sat in front of Congress and said, our name is important and we're going to stand behind all these products because we manufactured them and we guaranteed them. I want you to know God is the one who made you. And God will stand behind the product and the capacity that he's placed you in. That's the reason why you don't compare yourself. I feel my help coming in now. You don't compare yourself with somebody else. Don't look at somebody else and say, well, I'm supposed to be doing that. No, you're not. You're a screwdriver with a flat head. Don't try to do what the Phillips head's supposed to do. And don't use your electric drill to drive in the nail. That's not what it's been manufactured for. You do what God has given you the capacity to do with. And when you do that, having done all, stand therefore and watch the glory of God come into your life. I feel like preaching. You must pass the test. Look at your neighbor and tell him you got to pass the test. I know you thought when you graduated you were not going to have to pass any more tests, but I got news for you. Anybody who's been walking with God for a little while knows there's another test coming. Either you're on your way into one, you're in one right now, or you're coming out, and I can tell the difference this morning by the way you sang Victory in Jesus in here. Who's where they are this morning. Some of you say, oh, victory, I don't know if I believe this. And others standing right next to you, oh, Victor, hallelujah, brother. Getting on your nerves because they're already come through their trial. But if you don't have a trial, you won't know what your faith can do. You got to pass the test. And your faith is only as strong as the test it survives. I just want to take a moment and just let that settle in. I want you to think about the last thing that you were walking through that caught your asbestos underwear on fire. That last trial that you were going through that you did not understand. You still, right now, some of you are sitting here and you still don't understand why you had to walk through that trouble place, why you had to deal with that, and you thought it was your wife, you thought it was your husband, you thought it was your boss, you thought it was the preacher, you thought it was God, you thought it was anything and everything, and you still don't have an explanation for it, but here you are this morning. I just want to say to you, you're in the right place to get the answer to your faith trial. Because nowhere out there is going to be able to explain it. The world has plenty of ideas and experts that will come up and say, well, this happened to you. And if you're not careful, they'll give you a syndrome for whatever it is that you just came through. I'm not talking to anybody here. They'll give you a syndrome, and if you find the right doctor, he'll give you not one but two prescriptions because you know the first one is not supposed to do it all. The second one is to cure whatever the side effects are that you're going to have from the first one. Is anybody with me here? You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what you had to walk through that made you question your experience with God. There's only three or four of us that's ever been there before. I'm talking about the kind of trial that breaks your back to the degree that nobody had to ask you to come to prayer meeting. You just showed up because you needed God. Nobody had to ask you to praise God. Nobody had to ask you to be able to worship God because the tears rolling down your face was an indicator. I'm walking through something that I can't explain, but oh God, I just want to let you know I still trust you. Have I got any help in here who knows what it's like to walk through when you don't have a feeling? Come on, somebody. I had somebody ask me the other day, Pastor, I just want the feeling. I need that feeling back. I want you to know if you never get the feeling, if you got two hands of faith, God is going to bring you back to the place where the glory will rest upon your head again.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org. And I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.